The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Welcome to the 365 Message Center show, where we plan for change, prevent or fix, stay informed, and the fourth one, we work from home too. Yeah, it's no surprise there. I've actually tried to see how many groans I get for every call that I jump onto. I look and I go, oh, Hey, Simon, looks like you're working from home today.
Oh my goodness. Yes, yeah. I'm sure your coworkers love you.
They do. That's the point, though. It gets the reaction I'm after. Enough of the banter. Yes,
I know.
How many updates do we have this week?
Quite a few, and I think there's some really exciting new features coming to the Microsoft 365 landscape, and there's some that are just a little bit of updates. So let's dive into this, and we'll cover them all one way or another.
One way or another. And welcome to those of our friends and family that are joining in the chat, Suzanne Hunt, Phil Worrell, and all the thousands that are quiet and silent. Yes, first update, Microsoft Secure Score provides better secure posture for visibility, MC208163. What's actually updating here?
Well, this is really, we've been talking about Secure Score for a while, but it's been in preview. So this is just, hey, announcing this is coming to general availability, and it'll be rolling out late this month, April 2020, completed by late June. So everybody will be getting most people will be getting the Microsoft Secure Score.
Yep. No, that's cool. That's good. I do like that these wizard-driven things help us to point out some of the things that we should check out. But yeah, do check it out. Run through it yourself. There's no harm. It's not going to break anything. It might just point you in the right direction for a few changes. Updated feature for sharing behavior on non-office resources, MC208305. Sharing files. And when we say files, it's not office documents.
Right. I mean, if you think about the way files are shared now, when you click on a link, someone sends you a link saying, here's a file shared, it actually opens up that office file in the preview, in the browser to look at the file. But if it's a different type, then it doesn't. Well, now it's rolling out. PDFs, for instance, will be treated this way. The images won't, but will soon be. The trick here, though, I think for this, the only other item I wanted to kind of mention about this one, Daryl, is that it doesn't give you what other file types it's talking about. Hmm. And so it says the behavior will affect non-image file types at first, but it doesn't say what file type. Is it all of them that have a preview, or is it just a subset? And there's no additional information on this one either. So we don't really know too much more than that.
Yeah, there's 250, close to 300 different file type viewers now within SharePoint Online.
So we've covered that in the past. And there's a lot of them.
And increasing, and it's good to see, because we do want to be able to view things before we actually go to that effort of downloading stuff. So yeah, it's. Keep something to keep an eye out for. Slightly confusing thing for me here, really, because when we share it, we open it up, it's in a browser.
Yeah, and I think that's the change. And you really do. This is a big change. And just in that, for your users, when they click it, they're going to see the file instead of it downloading, which I think is great, because we don't want 15,000 copies of a file all over the place. We want to keep one source of truth. Yep. So anyway. Yep.
Secure by default. So this is a very bland, nondescript update.
It is.
MC208307. Great. Secure by default. Is this some new initiative? It says it's another phase of secure by default. What is this about?
If you think about, you can set domains that are trusted for your organization. Mm-hmm. And so you maybe... For instance, I have a partner company I work with, and they changed domains because they were bought. And that they started using the new domain of the company that bought them, and every single one of those emails were going to junk. Single one of them. Actually being quarantined. So we had to get it trusted and all that. Well, what this is saying is, even if you've trusted a domain, we receive an email and it fails authentication, meaning we won't go too deep in here, but in email you can provide some authenticated keys in DNS, and then when an email is received by your email service, it will check to make sure that it actually is coming from the right service and everything. So if it fails those checks, then it'll still send it to junk, even if it is a trusted domain. This is just another way of protecting you, to say if you trust Microsoft.com, for instance, but spammers are sending email from and spoofing Microsoft.com, then your users won't get those emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Secure by default is going to cover off some more things like this. It sounds like this is one phase of making sure that things are legit. New Outlook on the web feature. It says new editor capabilities. That's MC28308. And this is actually talking about the new Microsoft editor, which some are terming as Microsoft's version of Grammarly, where you're in there, you're editing a document. Looks like you're going to also be able to take advantage of this when you're using Outlook on the web. It's going to check your grammar. It's going to make some suggestions and give you some coaching around how you should write that email. I wonder if this, I mean, it's going to give us guidance around using our languages correctly, but whether or not it's going to start suggesting certain phrasing to make all our emails start sounding the same.
That's very interesting. Will it learn and how we talk? Because you and I talk different. I don't know if you've caught on.
Yep.
But it is
Megan.
And well, it is it'll be interesting to see if we all start saying the same phrases. You know, those responses, those quick responses where you can go, suggested. You get an email and you suggest responses of, yes, that's great. And, will do. And everybody's using the same phrases. Will this do the same thing? I don't know. That's a very good question. I would like to see it not. I'd like to see it kind of learn from us and know that our will do, instead of saying that, I say sure thing or whatever, whatever each individual user likes. So, but I like this feature. In fact, I've seen it already, in Word.
Yes.
It's rolling out it's not rolling out, correct me if I'm wrong, Daryl, but I think it's only rolling out for personal Office 365 accounts.
I'm not across sure that either, but there is a an order that they're rolling this out to test it out.
This is great for Outlook and to get those kind of grammar suggestions, and not just grammar with you missed a comma, it's even more than that. So
business speak, business phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's being released to targeted release customers early April, so that's now. Rollout should be completed to standard release at the end of May. We have some updates to the command bar in SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Power Automate. So a change in branding. Change in, I guess, the way the buttons are organized, as it says here, MC28356.
There's two changes. It's the name from Flow, because, to Automate, because the name change. But then there's also an organization change to way the thing is, or things are organized in the menu. So that's an interesting change. Wonder what they're doing there.
Making space for something? Watch this space. Speaking of spaces, SharePoint Spaces. Whoa. Wasn't this announced like 2 years ago? Lucky enough to be on the private preview, so I've seen this kind of grow and improve. Of course, I couldn't talk about it, but soon I will be able to. SharePoint Spaces coming to you. Targeted release customers in April 2020. So it's MC208358. And
so tell us, Daryl, what is SharePoint Spaces, and what is this going to bring to us? To these, I mean, I think a lot of people have heard about it, but they haven't experienced it while they're about to experience it. So tell us, what is it that we're about to experience?
Expect to see another way of experiencing a SharePoint site. Right, so you have your regular assets, your SharePoint libraries, documents, pictures, etc. Expect a different way of being able to frame that up for people to interact with it. So you can take a regular SharePoint site in SharePoint Align, of course, and you'll be able to create a space for it and add different web parts that give you a spatial feel to experiencing that content. Many people know I work with 360 video content, and I think of it often as it's my stage. It's a sphere. And what I want to do is present content in certain spaces and in depths so that as people wiggle their mouse in this case, or if they do have a headset, they don't have to. But they can drag around and they can experience, there's some content. I'm going to interact with that. There's a 360 video, what I want people to be able to experience and see from SharePoint. Here it is. More to share about that. We've got a lot to get through this morning, but that's probably a deep dive thing that I'll do at some point once it's available.
Great.
All right. Yammer uses your Office Online profile. That's MC208357. Probably just summing it up. Great to see consistency coming in because that's part of the problem. It has been part of the problem, not just for Yammer, but across the whole suite of things. When you change something in your profile somewhere, that it's not always making its way
through. Right. And people are like, I've changed my picture in Exchange. Why is it not showing in SharePoint or Yammer? And so, I agree. This is just, this syncing is great. It is important to understand one item that I wanted to point out, that the way this is going to function, if you have an Office 365 profile, then Yammer is going to use that profile. So great. But it's not going to sync the other way, which has kind of been the problem of, I could go in Yammer and add additional or edit things and it not reflect in my Office 365 profile, and it caused issues. But it also means they're going to remove fields in the Yammer profile.
Good.
And they point out one of those here of being, I think it was your Facebook profile would be one that would be removed. So just know that there's going to be profile fields in Yammer that will be deleted to enable this sync.
A side comment about that, we've seen a lot of Facebook being removed from Microsoft products. Messages about removing connectors and various things. Yeah. So
Well, and I think some of the services are locking down too. Some of this is because of that, because of services locking down. But this case, it I always thought it was kind of interesting to have that in there anyway, to be honest. So so it's being removed.
Yeah. Co-editor chat access directly in Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. In short, that thing you used to be able to do when you're in a document and you go, someone else is in the document. Let's have a conversation. Click, typeity, typeity, type. That's been removed. We've talked about this already. MC207547, just an update to say, based on customer feedback, we've updated the message for clarity. So, be more clear as you read that message again.
That's right. Well, we spent some time on this to kind of explain it. So I guess maybe they took the hint that maybe they should explain it more.
Clearly, look, we know that all the key stakeholders at Microsoft watch our show.
Yes, I get a note from Sacha explaining how I did something wrong every week. So,
well, take that feedback. It's good feedback.
That's what I respond. Have you opened up a user voice yet? So. All right. Moving on.
New feature, all company feed in Yammer is going to become in a connected community. MC208373, when you're using Yammer as a connected experience to Office 365 groups, then as you create a Yammer community, you get all the, you know, notebook and the SharePoint site behind it. You can use live events now too if you've got the policy in place for you being able to do that. But we couldn't do that within the all company feed. And I'm excited to see this because in my org, all company feed is still the most popular place to put content. And I've been wanting to run a live stream in there and I can't.
Yeah, it's unfortunately it is the most popular, I think, for a lot of organizations because, frankly, content gets lost.
Mm.
And I don't know what the solution to that is, but it gets lost in Yammer. But the for this all company feed, yes, being able to run live events, the kicker here, Daryl, is don't go and switch this just because you want live events. Make sure you do your research. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying make sure you do your research before you do the enablement of the connected group. So just do some research there and before you click that switch.
Always cautious. Can count on you, mate. just another update there to Office Pro Plus on the monthly channel, MC208378. Some updates and changes to Office, go and read about them in the release notes. I do like that this is one update which always has that link off to the detail that they want to talk about each month. We did this in Office, so it's always good to see. This one, a new feature, a SharePoint file delete lockout override, MC208414. How many times have you needed to delete a file but it's locked?
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've all run into that. It, it's not all the time, but I have done it. I've had that experience quite frequently. And when you're working with documents that others are working on. In fact, I was just working with an organization last week. They have two spreadsheets that are open all the time, all the time. By somebody, and they leave it open when they go to lunch. They leave it open when they go home for the day. They leave it open on their desktop when they go home for the weekend. So, you know, when you're trying to delete documents or, you know, whenever you experience this kind of thing, it is problematic. So this is allowing us to delete that document, even though someone has it open. But just be careful, obviously, if you're deleting the document, that the one you'll be deleting is not the one that may be that's open, for instance, if they haven't saved their changes. And so even though it goes to the recycle bin, I think technically you'll lose any changes since their last save. So just be mindful of that. There will be a difference. And, well, you're deleting it, yes, but they had it open for a reason. So
yeah,
90% of the time, you know, maybe it's just they forgot about it, but that 10% of the time they had it open for a reason. And so maybe, you know, don't just go in overriding this is my suggestion. Actually take a moment and see who might have it open just in case. But if you can't find it and you need to delete it, go ahead and delete it.
Good advice there. You know, generally if it is locked, it's because someone is working on it. And I think the one use case where this really does make sense is if that one person has left and you're stuck with someone who's locked up a version that should be turfed. Let's go on to a feature that we used to have in classic SharePoint some time ago, didn't we? Being able to create a SharePoint list from an Excel table. That sound familiar?
Yes, we could import from Excel and SharePoint Classic, and so this is bringing that modern experience to us. So being able to create a list, the ability to create a list based upon a list that's already there is fantastic. This is being able to take an Excel workbook and create from a sheet, a worksheet, a list. And so, yes, this is great to see. Have we seen it before? Yes, but still cool features. So for those of you that are in Excel all the time, then, you know, here's your chance to create those SharePoint lists.
Yep. We used to use it in SharePoint training as a way of saying, here's a reason why you would use a list. What is a common SharePoint sheet that you're all working off. And we would take that and we would turn it into a SharePoint list. And then the lights would go on. Oh, so we can go there and, oh, okay, this is great. Yeah. Probably not as important now that we've got really good co-authoring in Excel spreadsheets.
Right.
But
I think for connected experiences, yep, if we're wanting to do some displaying or have some connected experiences, it's better to be in a SharePoint list.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So this is a great way to do that.
Right. We didn't call it the number, the MC208460. Yeah. All right. Updated feature, updates for time management and calendaring in Outlook Mobile. Calendaring. I didn't get an underlined red squiggle when I wrote that in my Microsoft editor. So I guess it's a real word, calendaring. That's MC208463. Let's see. We're in calendar and we could see calendar week numbers. So if you like to count down those weeks, that could be helpful.
Not to me. No. I don't find that helpful at all. But I mean, some people do. When people talk about week numbers, I often go, what?
Week why numbers. Are you even... Man, your sales targets are down. Week numbers.
Yeah.
Sorry, different week numbers. Right.
But there are industries that rely on week numbers, financial and others. And so I get it, but I don't use that. But so I saw that and I'm like, maybe don't lead with that. I don't know. With this message, maybe don't lead with the calendar week numbers. But anyway, so adding time zones to events,
that's more important.
That is way more important. Yeah. And being able to do that in the mobile, it's fantastic. And then the third one, time to leave, because of Apple's changes to iOS, they're not going to be able to actually use time to leave. Time to leave was a way to see where you are, where you need to go, and be there by what time, and say, oh, you need to leave now because of traffic and whatever. But they're going to have to disable that because Apple has removed that capability from
iOS. Come on, Apple. Come on, Apple. We want our apples and eat them too. Come on.
I bet this would continue working on the Windows Phone platform if, you know, that still existed.
Oh, no, hang on. It'll be Android running on Surface Phone or whatever that thing's called again. Duo. Surface Duo.
Duo.
Yeah.
Come on now.
We're doing okay. We've got six minutes and we're at the...
Yeah, Daryl, I wanted to make sure I mentioned one that I don't think is in your list, so this may just totally jack it up. But this is Dynamics 365 and Power Platform Licensing and Enforcement Deadline Extensions. This is MC208422. Basically, as a response to the COVID-19 crisis, they are extending the deadlines for licensing. So this covers Dynamics 365, you know, team members, storage and prod, portals, and Dynamics 365 plan customers. So check out this message because it is extending all of those dates for, you know, managing your licenses and converting them. And then also for Microsoft Flow and Power Apps, they're changing that. So we used to have the Power App, well, we still do kind of, the Power Apps P1 and P2 plan, along with the Flow P1 and P2 plan. So those have been basically extended. They're going to be auto-renewed for those that had that those licenses. They're going to be auto-renewed until December 31st, 2020. And then so after December 31st, 2020, of course, you'll need to change your licensing to the updated licensing approach. So wanted to communicate that. So this is if you've got a trial or any of that kind of stuff with these licenses, you will be able to keep them for the extended period to December 31st.
And I expect that message will turn up in my message center sometime too. Mm-hmm. A nice reminder that our message centers are different and things do change. This one's it's a series, isn't it? So the third update around awareness of Microsoft 365 temporary feature adjustments, which means they're dialing a few things down that aren't essential so they can keep essential services running. Right. So what do we have? Well, we've got MC207 439. Look, I'll just pause here too. Few people, customers and internal customers, have asked me, oh, look, hey, why is this feature not working? Or why are we getting this message? And I was able to go back to this message and the message center from last time and say, this is why OneNet's reporting this. And that, you know, brought the question about, well, why isn't anyone telling us about this thing? If you don't have someone in your org that is looking at this message center, determining what should be said and told to users, shame on you. Okay. Yeah, I know.
Wow. Okay.
I know it's pretty harsh, but it's all about user experience. And these ones in particular are pretty important because people are going to say, oh, this isn't working as expected. Well, it's because the whole world's using Microsoft 365 right now. They did plan to scale up, but not in this space of time. So here's what we got. New announcements. You want to take this OneDrive one?
Yeah, so for OneDrive, this is if you're displaying items in OneDrive by using the large thumbnails, then you might see generic icons because it every time you switch that thumbnail, it goes out to the service. And these are the ones that files on demand. These are not the ones you've downloaded to your machine. These are the ones that are just pointers, right? Yeah. So they're files that are pointer. If you, it has to go out and get an copy of that image thumbnail and bring it back down every time for every one of those documents. Wow. So it's saying, yeah, so you will see generic icons instead of those thumbnails. And for select file types such as PDF, video files, but photo files, JPEGs, PNGs, et cetera, are not affected by this change.
Well, that's, I think, the main one there. But if you want that consistent experience, then just don't go to the large view. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
SharePoint update. Updated in bold to provide additional clarity. Just,
And this is just providing clarity that apps that scan the service.
Yeah.
Not it's DLP. We talked about this before. DLP migration will experience delays.
Yep.
And you'll need to do those overnight. But apps that scan the service as well will see delays.
Mm. So there are other updates in the past that have mentioned about these temporary feature adjustments. This is the same announcement. I would say just keep an eye on that one. Yeah, because that one, we might see some other changes there too. What have we got? We've got a updated feature, get files and items from folders and subfolders, MC208464. Tell me about it, because I didn't spend a lot of time reading this one. You're shaking your head.
It's just weird. This is a weird... I don't understand why this is in the message center.
Yeah.
This is an update to a service functionality. So this is Power Automate, and it's updating and giving you the ability to new capabilities within Power Automate. We've never seen an update in the message center like this. And when I read it, I'm like, why are we seeing this when those Power Platform service, we don't see other things every time they update the service with new functionality. New calls like this to be able to update, which is probably good because we'd be inundated.
Yeah.
If you look at those Power BI updates every month, they're huge, which is great. But do those show up for us? No. So I really don't understand why this is here. It's okay. It's fine.
What would make sense here? That they and Power BI and any other service that has a stack of other updates and changes to their service follows the same pattern that Office Pro Plus does. Here's a list of blah de blah de blah. Go here for the link to get the full detail. So it's a roll up.
Yeah.
Not like a single. This might be Power Automate just testing the waters.
Maybe. Maybe. I was like, what? Why is this here? So.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, finishing off with Teams meeting experience improvements. One of the top feature requests is, does this have to be a meeting? No, actually, that's not on the roadmap. But this is MC208577. And it's three things. Background effects. So all these people that have got early access to this feature that's been announced, and they've been able to change their backgrounds. I'm using a cheating method with a green screen, but you'll be able to do it too from directly within the product. And this is our headline, by the way. Starting beginning of April. Beginning to mid of April.
Yeah, so now it's rolling out. I've seen people getting around this, oh, I want this experience now. And so they've been doing weird stuff. But being able to have this for you and having background effects, go you. I mean, some people love this idea. I actually am on the fence about it. But
Yeah.
anyway,
But that's another good deep dive, I think.
yeah, I don't know. I think it's more distracting than it's beneficial. So, people complain about meetings not being as efficient as they need to be because, you're joking around, you're catching up and all this. And it's, well, how better can you be more inefficient? Well, let's put a goofy background on behind you. And people go, ooh, what's that background? What's going on?
Yeah.
I want to look like I'm in space. I don't know. I mean, I get though hiding stuff, if you're
Yeah.
not in an environment that is conducive to that, or you've got secret stuff, you're working
Yeah,
on
yeah, yeah.
whiteboards. I mean, blur it or, put a background. I get it. I just don't, some of the goofy ones, I'm like, yeah, that's fun, but is that helpful to the meeting?
Yeah,
I don't
I've
know.
seen this used as a way of signaling which team you're from. So that's kind of cool within an organization. And the way I've used it for my customers is I like to put something up in the background that's actually reflective of their environment. So I might have snapped a picture in their reception or somewhere where it feels like I'm there with them. It's a bit unnerving, like with right now, this is a view of our atrium staircase at Datacom. So people are like, "Oh, are you in the office? You shouldn't be there." But I think that there is some positive sides to it. And we should carry
I
on though.
agree.
So that there's another thing there about new experience with launching instant channel meetings, which is the Meet Now feature. That is shifting to the top right-hand corner. Had a good chat with Stephen Collier on Twitter. Because I was thinking, hang on, does that mean that at the bottom where we might normally reply on a thread and say, "Hey, let's turn this into a meeting," that's not going to be there anymore? Does that mean that we're losing our ability to reply to a thread and have a Meet Now meeting? No. Apparently, because he's got early access, so he's okay, he's allowed to talk about it. It's still going to have that same behavior. It's just shifting that button up there in the top right-hand corner.
Well, and having been able to do a meet now and have start a meeting, which is a new thread in the channel, rather than,
Yeah.
replying to the thread with a meeting.
Yeah, that's helpful too. And then lastly, a little clarity around that joining experience. Yeah.
Thank you, because the joining experience with teams, especially people who don't know what they're doing, is terrible because it brings it up in the browser. You get a pop-up saying, do you want to open up Teams? Well, you've got to, if you don't, you have to click cancel. And then on the screen, there's all this language about, well, if you want to do this and this and this, and there's these hyperlinks and all, and it's just,
Yeah.
it can be very overwhelming
Yep.
for first time users or even frequent users that don't use the browser experience that often. So, I love this, Daryl. I love
Yep.
this experience of give me buttons, explain what it is in bold, give me a little bit more text below. I mean, I love this experience. So for those that are listening to the podcast, you get these nice buttons that are stacked on how do you want to join your Teams meeting? It's clear. You're not having to read a bunch of text. First one is download the Windows app. If you don't have it, then you're going to be able to click that and download it. Continue in on this browser. Click that, and you're going to join the Teams meeting in the browser. And then the third is open your Teams app. So if you already have it, then you can click that button. It's open up the desktop experience or the experience or the app on the machine and open up join the meeting in that app. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. I've seen it a few times actually, joining meetings. It's been weird because it'll show up in one tenant. I'll join. I'm like, oh, this is a great experience. And then I'll join a meeting again, later on, and it's the same old experience. So it's very interesting, but I love this.
We know that the best meeting experience is going to be using the app, whether it be Windows app or whatever app you're, whatever OS you're using. Continuing this in the web browser, I think the one thing I'd say about this experience too is I still get our Chrome pop-up that says, despite the text that's there, Chrome will still say, hey, you've got Teams. Do you want to use that? So it kind of, this is cool and it's simplified, but I still get that Chromium or Chrome kind of like, you know, I'm actually going to tell you.
Does that happen in Edge?
I don't know. We'll check that out, huh?
Yeah, let's check that out. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, that is it in terms of the messages for the message center. And we did take us a bit over, but come on, give us some credit. How many messages were there today? We got through them. Yeah, thanks again for watching. We'll roll it out now. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.